You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Darren Owen, Rory Delaghi and Paddy Aspel in the studio. It's two national hunt meetings accompanied by All Weather Racing in the afternoon. We have Newbury and Doncaster over the obstacles, All Weather Racing at Lingfield and the usual Friday evening fare as well. Wolverhampton and Dundalk playing live to the action on Friday night. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Oh, very good afternoon to you, Mark. I'm in absolutely rampant form, to be fair, old chap. The sun is shining. Cheltenham gets closer with every little sleep I take. And I can't wait, to be honest. It's looking very, very exciting indeed.
Yes, 12 sleeps when we're recording this, 11 sleeps by the time it's done and dusted, this podcast.
So. Exactly. It's just like counting down to Santa.
It is. I'm going to come up with a Cheltenham Festival advent calendar one year, I think.
Hey, that would be a great thing, wouldn't it? That is a good idea.
Behind each door's a festival hero.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Or maybe a selection for the festival.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, that could be a good idea to come out for next time. Yeah. I'm not so sure, and I might be wrong, but there certainly doesn't seem to be as many Cheltenham preview evenings advertised of late.
There's still a fair few knocking about.
Is there? Is there still plenty about? Yeah. I suppose the brown envelope brigade from William Hill will be all chomping at the bit to try and get one or two of those.
It is like Christmas for those guys, isn't it?
It will be, yes, indeedy. So, yeah, we shall watch this space with that.
Yeah.
And as every day goes by, one maybe falls by the wayside, but then another one comes out the woodwork like a dog barking.
That's a metaphor I've never heard before. Comes out of the woodwork like a dog barking.
Have you not?
No, I haven't.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
If you can have an advent calendar for Cheltenham, I can have a dog barking coming out of the woodwork.
Right, okay.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, good.
That will pick on. You just wait. You'll hear that.
Yeah.
You'll hear that on Channel 4 or one of the two of those racing channels, one of those pundits coming out with that, nicking our sayings.
Yeah.
See, it's Saturday morning. Good morning. Welcome to... What's that programme they have on a morning for Channel 4?
The Morning Line.
The Morning Line, yeah. Welcome to The Morning Line. And we're opening door number 7 on the advent calendar. 7 days to go, or 10 days, or however many it might be.
Yeah.
I can see that taking off.
Good.
Yeah.
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 We should patent these, and then we'll make royalties out of them.
Wouldn't we just, Hey, the dog barking with an advent calendar in his mouth out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing stuff.
Tell you what.
Amazing.
Let's talk about some of the festival stories going on at the moment, Pimmy.
Yep.
The big story on Wednesday afternoon was that Victoria Pendleton had ridden her first winner under rules, an easy success aboard Pasha de Polder. I know we spoke on the podcast last week about the risks attached to her going to the Fox Hunters, and they're going to announce in a press conference on Monday whether or not she'll ride in the race, but that'll push her in the direction of, it's almost, well, she will now, won't she, do you think?
Personally, I hope not. I mean, fantastic for her. Did absolutely nothing wrong yesterday. But, you know, you've got a completely different ball game at Cheltenham. You've got a lot more runners. You've got a lot more fences. You've got a lot more pressure. And I think we should really celebrate her and say, well done, you've done great. And maybe in 12 months' time, if you keep tipping away at it, the Fox Hunters will be for you. But whether it's ready for her this year, I don't know. And again, I think lots of people are sort of in two different camps. Some are saying, yeah, great, kick on, you deserve to be there. And others are saying, yeah, you've done really well, but maybe not quite ready for it this year. So we'll watch this space. She's being guided by a lot of professional people who know all about the game. And I'm sure that they will make the right decision for her, and hopefully not the right decision for her sponsors.
Yeah. She said she's going to leave it into the hands of people that are coaching her and let them make the decision. So
and I think
probably
that's
the right way forward. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, you know. But like I say, fantastic yesterday, but completely different ball game come the Fox Hunters.
Mm. Let's talk about the Gold Cup, Pimmy. A few interesting stories surrounding that. Gordon Elliott, who's the trainer of Don Cossack, who's 4-1 joint favourite for the Gold Cup, says that Jack Adam is the one to beat, finish runner-up in the race last year. He's 5-1 in the betting at the moment. Would you agree with that?
I certainly would feel he's got a fantastic chance. That is for sure, Jack Adam. I mean, he only got beaten by Coney Gree last year, who was a very worthy winner. And to be honest, he was the best of the rest, wasn't he?
Mm.
So if he turns up on the day in good heart, you'd have to say that he is a major player. Obviously, Mullins massively represented at the festival. Somebody rang me this morning from Ireland was saying he's got 65 runners at the festival. Now just think of the logistics of getting the horses on the lorry, onto the ferry, into Cheltenham, feed, hay, they maybe even bring their own water, all the tack that they needed, the exercise tack, the race day tack. I mean, logistically, an unbelievable job to try and put together, and that would be like having to be done in military precision.
Yeah.
Amazing. And Gordon Elliott, by the same token, he's got a massive string coming over.
He has, yeah.
It's a big thing to organise, let alone get them there on the day, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll watch this space on that one. And again, I'm just worried that if Mullins brings all that sort of 65 over at the same time, there'll be nobody left in Ireland. They'll all be over here with his horses, won't they, you know?
Yeah.
So it could be interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
While we're on the subject of Willie Mullins runners, Vator has creeped into the news once again.
Yeah.
Owner Rich Ritchie saying Vator will either run in the Gold Cup or he won't run at the festival. The Ryanair is not a target for him. So
yeah, I suppose we can see where he's coming from as far as he wants to have a Gold Cup winner.
Yeah.
You know, his mantelpiece has got lots of ornaments on, but the nicest ornament that he wants is that blue ribbon trophy.
Mm.
So, you know, I can fully understand where he's coming, and more than likely, you know, they'll have rich pickings for him in mind if he didn't go to the Gold Cup, and more than likely they think that the Ryanair's not quite right for him. We'll watch this space with him, but I think I can understand the owner's point of view.
Yeah, it's just an embarrassment of riches that he's still determined to put Vator in there, even though he's got last year's runner-up Jack Adam. And
yeah, but again, you know, there's only one Gold Cup.
I agree.
You know, and if the more darts he has to throw at that board, the more opportunity he's got of getting that winner.
Mm.
And I don't suppose he'd mind if they were first and second.
I don't think he would.
You know?
No.
Whichever way around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of news for the Queen Mother Champion Chase as well. Saïd Agrouji has had a little bit of a break.
And he has, yeah.
Apparently he's bouncing. He's in good heart coming into the festival.
Good, good. Again, you know, he got well and truly put in his place by Sprinter Sacra last time out, didn't he? The vibes about Sprinter Sacra are that he's in great form as well. So, yeah, we'll watch this space regarding Saïd Agrouji. For me, he's got to bounce back to be a major player again.
Okay. Final bit of Cheltenham news that we're going to talk about. It's not the most breaking of news, but Moonracer hasn't raced since winning the champion bumper last year.
Yeah.
They're still still targeting the Supreme Novices hurdle, for which he's a 20-1 shot. Obviously has ability, but he's never jumped a hurdle before.
Never jumped a hurdle in public. Yeah. That's the thing. And he's never jumped, you know, it's not like having a nice schooling session around Huntingdon or Warwick where you can get your eye and have a practice, you know, and see how you get on. You know, lickety split from the flag fall. It's a huge task to ask any horse, you know, to be fair. So I think that's an interesting one to keep an eye on. He's obviously, like you say, horse of fair ability, but he's obviously had his issues. And again, to go to Cheltenham, first time over hurdles, and win a Supreme,
that would be some training feat.
Well, it'd be a training feat, but also he's some horse to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll watch this space with Moonracer, but it's an interesting call. And this might be of no information or no use to you at all, Mark, but I've had a little whisper this morning for my 10 to yours, who they say is absolutely flying at home. And again, a bit suspect that we haven't seen him for such a long time. And to expect him to come into a champion hurdle and do the business. I know he's finished second in a champion hurdle previously, but he's with the right trainer. And again, the vibes are very positive. So, you know, bear him in mind if you're looking at something to take on the big ones at a big price. I'm sure he must be 20-1 shot, is he?
No.
No?
6-1.
6-1?
Yeah, he's been shortening
all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've missed the boat there then. I didn't realise he was as short as that.
Yeah.
And another one that I want to chuck at you, it's called Baden, B-A-D-E-N. Again, another inmate from the Henderson camp. I think he's entered in a couple of races at Cheltenham. You might be able to confirm that. Won his point-to-point in his native island, and he ran really well for a long way on very, very heavy ground. The vibe from the Henderson Yard is that he's very highly thought of, and that, you know, there could be a little bit more to come from him.
He's entered in the Neptune.
Right, OK.
66-1 for the Neptune.
Yeah. Don't forget about him, that's all I'm saying. And at 66-1, I would say to you, he might be worth a daft fiver each way.
Fair enough. Let's leave the Cheltenham chat there then. We've got a little bit more time to consider festival fancies in the next coming days, but the closest thing to hand is Friday's racing, so we may get stuck into that. We'll get Pimmy's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
On to Friday's racing then, and Pimmy's got four races for us, a couple at Newbury, one at Doncaster, and we finish off with one at Wolverhampton as well. So we'll start in the 3:25 at Newbury, which is a handicap chase for the Geoffrey Gilby Trophy. It's over 2 miles, a Class 3 event, and a field of 10 here, Pimmy. Which ones have made the shortlist for you?
Well, I think it's, again, good prize money on offer tomorrow afternoon at Newbury, as you imagine. Just be a little bit careful now, because the ground is just starting to dry out a little bit. We might just get one or two different results. Good to soft in place on the chase course as we record, and again, there's a couple of horses in this race that I thought were interesting. Artifice Civiller has been in good form of late for the Lucy Wadham Yard. Cloudy Joker was a faller last time out. We saw him at Catterick Bridge, but he put back-to-back wins together prior to that, setting off a mark of 117, then 120. He races off a mark of 125 tomorrow afternoon. And Festive Affair, the John Joe O'Neill runner, he finished fourth last time out, beating a fair way in the end, but it ran with some sort of credit, I thought, behind Vision Deschamps, and he could be an interesting player tomorrow afternoon. But I'm going to side with the unpronounceable number two.
Une Mégeron.
You've got it, sunshine. Yeah. Oui, oui, bonjour. Monsieur Marco. Well done. The French bred, been in good form of late, this fella. Last time we saw him win was at Perth off a mark of 121. That was back in April of 2014. £6 higher in the weights than that tomorrow. Kieran Gittings rode him when he was second behind Wings of Smoke at Taunton last time out. And I just feel that he's one of the few that comes into the race on the back of a couple of consistent runs. So it's tentative rather than positive. But I think with the last 2 seconds and hoping that he's not got seconditis, that he might get his head in front tomorrow afternoon.
A measure on for Pimmy then in the 3:25. The 4 o'clock at Newbury is where we're going next. This one is a novices limited handicap chase, a Class 4 event over 2¾ miles, a field of 12 here, Pimmy, and another competitive race to look forward to at Newbury.
Oh, a smashing race indeed. Again, good prize money. Misty Fireball comes into this race on the back of some really good form. It was a winner over 2½ miles at Leicester last time out, so he's a progressive type, that is for sure. Balia Dean's an interesting one as well. He was a winner last time out at Market Race and beating Pembroke House. And the other horse that ran really well last time out on his debut for the season was Nitrogen. He was a 6-1 joint favourite on that occasion, and he finished 7¼ lengths behind Spooky Dookie here at Newbury and over the train trip of 2 miles 6. Now, he is declared to race on Thursday as well, so maybe watch this space if he does take his chance tomorrow afternoon. But if he did take his chance, I certainly think he'd be a player in this race. But I'm going to plump with the Queen's horse, Special Agent. Pieces on for the first time tomorrow. Ran well enough, I thought, in defeat behind Cadadoff at Huntingdon last time out. And I'm just hoping that the cheap paces may help him to concentrate that little bit more and get back to winning ways. He last won March of last year at Ascot.
All right, hats off for the Queen then for Pimmy in the 4 o'clock. The 4:20 at Doncaster is where we go next. This one is a Mares Handicap Hurdle. It's a qualifier for the Challenger Mares Hurdle Series Final. It's a Class 3 event over 2½ miles. We've got a field of 8 here, Pimmy. Who would you side with in there?
Yeah, interesting race. Favourites Girl that won the race last year for the Appleby Yard takes her chance again. She won this race off 117 last year. She's now for a mark of 122, so she's a little bit to find. And she has run okay of late without actually setting the world alight. Last time we saw her actually was on the artificial surface at Wolverhampton, but she has been running over hurdles as well this season. So she's an interesting one, and she's obviously had this race in mind for her since she won the race last year. But I think there's a couple in here that might just have a little bit of an edge. Mystery Code, I thought, was bitterly disappointing last time out. The form book says she finished third, but she was beaten 3 fields and a dyke, to be perfectly honest. And again, I think if you forgive her that and look back at a form prior to that run, pretty solid. She won on debut, then she ran well in a listed race to finish third. I think it was at Aintree. So if you can forgive her that disappointing run, as I say, form book says she was third but beaten a long way, you could give her a chance. But I'm going to stick with the Pam Sly runner here, Toila. Again, been in good form this season, 1-3-1, and was a readied winner, I thought, last time out at Kempton. And Jamie Bargery takes the mount. Handicapper took a dim view, to be fair, that success last time. Put her up £8 from 110 to 118. But she could be the filly with the most progressive profile. So it's a very competitive mare's hurdle. But I'm going to stick with the Pam Sly trained Toila.
And final race we look at is at Wolverhampton on their Tapita surface. It's at 6:45. This is a condition stakes over 5 furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds, 9 of them. To go to post here, Pimmy, who would you side with in the last race we look at?
Smashing little race, this, to be fair. Good prize on offer, just short of 12 grand as well at Wolves tomorrow night. And, again, plenty of this come into this in the back of good forms. And some have got, which have got progressive profiles. So, Cadrici's interesting, obviously. Set off mark, winning mark of 96. Put back-to-back wins together off a mark of 100. Race off 104 tomorrow. So, you know, on official ratings, she holds the key. But I did feel the interesting one here could be Shadow Hunter, who won a listed race at York last season and finished the season in tremendous form, I thought, when finishing behind Quiet Reflection. That was in a Group 3 at headquarters, so that form looks rock solid. If she's produced fit after an absence of 147 days, for me, she's certainly a big, big player. And the other one I like, and on official figures has a bit to find, but he looks as though he's got a progressive profile. That's in the shape of Wallowitz from the David Barron Yard. Again, won here 10 days ago, this Wallowitz. And again, I thought won very easily indeed. Handicapper again took a dim view of that success, up £9 from 85 to 94. But there could be a bit more to come from this one. And I definitely feel Wallowitz, who could well be a little bit of value for money, could be the each-way slant in the nine-runner race. But I'm hoping that Shadow Hunter can get the job done.
All right, good stuff. As usual, Pimmy, let's just have a little bit of a summary then, if you'll spin us through your four selections for Friday one more time.
We will indeed. I'm going to start at Newbury in their two-mile handicap chase. The selection is Unmature Looms. In the 4 o'clock at Newbury, siding with Her Majesty in the shape of Special Agent. Hoping to go one better than the last time out. Doncaster for the girls' only race. We're going to go for Toila, for Pam Sly and Jamie Bargery. And on the flat at Wolverhampton at 6:45 post-time. Hoping Shadow Hunter can bounce back to form with a win. But a little watching brief on Wallowitz.
Superb. Good work, Pimmy. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Friday.
Can't wait.
There you go, the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Darren Owen, Rory Delaghi and Paddy Aspel in the studio. It's National Hunt Racing from Newbury and Doncaster, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Poly Track at Linkfield in the afternoon, and the usual Friday evening on the respective all-weather surfaces of Wolverhampton and Dundalk. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.